The LA Dodgers have money to burn, and they're clearing off space in their payroll going into 2023. Can we judge if they're going to add another big star to their team? I don't know. But one thing I do know is it's time for another crossover with Locked On Diamondbacks. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Daily MLB podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Check out my lower third. You can call me Sully. I'm an Emmy-nominated television producer who has been a baseball podcaster for the last decade. And for the last four completed seasons as a podcast host here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And right over there is my, well, sometimes co-pilot and always friend, and looking kind of a little scruffy in the beard there going on there. I'm loving it. It's, well, I don't even know your name. Tell us your name.
Yeah, Miller Thomas, host of Locked On Diamondbacks. It's No Shave November, Sully, so we got the caveman beard coming in strong right now, trying to get it like a Odell Beckham Jr. because we're talking about football before we start this podcast.
Oh, yeah, we talk a lot about football. Who's the guy on the Rockets who used to have the big beard?
That's Sun Devil legend James Harden right there.
So. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, you're going for the James Harden look there. Mm-hmm.
Need a few more inches.
All right. Well, look, at this is a family podcast. But so today you could follow your creator Thomas 24. You may have already said that. And this, we're recording this here. It's going to be dropped on the 21st day of November. It's Monday. Happy Thanksgiving Monday as we're going on here. We have some interesting Jennifer Cozy, who is the keeper of the Viva Tigres site and has been writing about the Tigers for a long time, is going to be my guest on the 22nd. And so I'm looking forward to playing that podcast. Mm. We had a really cool conversation about the state of the Tigers and the fact that she fell in love with the team around 1983, which is a pretty good time to be a Tiger fan, because the next year they went on and had arguably the greatest season in their team's history when they just went on a rampage and won the World Series. Lost only one playoff game to the San Diego Padres. And went on, and that's to this day the last time the Tigers have won the World Series. Anyway, that's a fun podcast. That's going to be dropping on Tuesday, November 22nd. So, hey, Millard, it's interesting. Just, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit here. Before we get together, we do these every week, and believe it or not, we do a little bit of planning. We'll shoot each other a few emails or messages. I don't like to know his take on things. I'd like there to be general, you know, genuine reactions. But we always exchange what topics do we want to hit. And one topic that I suggested is, why don't the White Sox have a manager yet? And who should they hire? And Millard Thomas, what did you inform me?
Well, I informed you that they apparently already hired a manager, because I didn't even know this, Sully, either, until I had to Google White Sox manager. You know, what candidates are they looking at? It's like, oh, they actually hired someone back in November, November 3rd, to start the month. They hired their new manager.
Pedro Grifol. Is that how you pronounce his last name? He's been a part of the Royals coaching staff for a long time, including the years they went to the World Series back to back. He was a bench coach and has some experience being on a championship coaching staff, which is all well and good. I do not believe he has any managerial experience, even in the minor leagues, which call me crazy. I think your first managing job should not be in the majors, but I digress. I don't know. I know nothing about the guy. I mean, I know he's younger than Tony La Russa, so is the dirt outside of my house right now. I mean, he's a player, seemed to swear by him, might be a smart baseball guy. I like the fact that he's coaching experience, and it's a different direction for the White Sox. who could very well lose Jose Abreu, who's a free agent right now. And guess who's looking to sign him? The Padres. The San Diego Padres are kicking the tires and saying, hey, we could use a first baseman right now. Why don't we make a deal for a first baseman? I would be, you know, look at, I understand the business of baseball. I understand that, you know, when the player's a free agent, it's his right to sign with anybody. I will never criticize a player for wanting to sign with someone else. I have a very weird quirk about my fandom, especially in the age of free agency, which is if someone plays 10 years with a team, or at least part of 10 years with a team, then if they go somewhere else, I'm like, ah, do you want the fan base? You had a decade with them. He's given them 9 years. So I'm like, Jose, can't you give the White Sox just one more year so you have that 10-year span? Because once you do 10 years, he's going to leave. Hey, you had a decade with him. You know, you had a decade to build a team around him. 9 years is always so frustrating for me as a fan because I'm like, you're on the cusp of that. And again, I know it doesn't really matter. And the fact that he is on the wrong side of 35 is disturbing if you're a White Sox fan. You know, he's still a productive hitter, but he's probably not going to be the MVP that he was a few years ago. But I just, you know, it's frustrating. And I know it's banana boat time for me to say, to have that matter at all, but it kind of does.
Yeah. It's a weird place right now for the White Sox. We're not going to have any strong takes on Pedro because we didn't know who he was before today. But I do like the fact that the White Sox went out there and got some fresh blood in the system after going through this whole Tony La Russa experience and doing the whole retread thing, maybe talking to Ozzie Guillen. Like, I like the fact that they went out there and got a new fresh face in the building, someone that hasn't been around, you know, baseball maybe too much, could use some more managerial experience. But I like how they got someone new. But for the White Sox team, I mean, it's been kind of a weird 3-year run for them because they felt like they've had this window the last couple of years to maybe win a World Series, but they've had that weird Tony La Russa hiring, and then they've dealt with a lot of injuries to their outfield with the Eloys and Luis Roberts not being able to stay healthy. They've gone, Tim Anderson hasn't been able to stay healthy. They've gone like up and down seasons from productions, from some of their key pieces in their starting lineup and their rotation. So it's just a weird place to be right now if you're a White Sox fan. If you saw Jose Abreu left, like you're alluding to, like that would hurt me so much as a White Sox fan because Jose Abreu has been like one of the most underrated players in baseball the last 10 years. Like, I know we don't like to talk about the COVID shortened season too much, but Jose Abreu was the American League MVP during the 2020 season. He had fantastic numbers. This past year, his home run total came down a little bit, but he's still a high average, high OPS guy. His hard contact stats were still right there. So the Padres were able to go out there and get a Jose Abreu for like a 3-year deal and add him to that lineup. Like, that is a major addition for this Padres roster. And I would hate to see a player like Jose Abreu, who's been a heartbeat of that White Sox team, leave for nothing in free agency. I think that would hurt the White Sox fan base a lot, and I would be hurt if I was a fan.
Yeah, and it's, you know, listening to my favorite podcast, my second favorite podcast after Locked On Diamondbacks is Never Not Funny, Jimmy Pardo's comedy podcast. Jimmy Pardo is really one of the pioneers of podcasts, and he was a guest on the old Sully Baseball program. He's a rabid, rabid Chicago White Sox fan. And he was basically screaming at the beginning of this year that La Russa isn't working, stop this madness. And when the Phillies wound up going to the World Series, when they had a super high profile, former World Series winning, former manager of the year, manager in Girardi, who they pulled the trigger on letting him go. And of course, Rob Thompson took over and they got to game 6 of the World Series with him. He was saying on the show, the Phillies did what the White Sox should have done, which was don't worry about saving face. It's not working. Pull the trigger. And sometimes you know when it's not working. Yes, La Russa won the division in 2021. It was very clear that this was not working early in the year, and there was no reason for it to keep going. He's going to be, this new manager is, again, fresh blood, get a good shot. Who knows? Could work out great. But losing Abreu, it would be just a real gut punch for this team. And, you know, sometimes it's an example again. It's funny because Pedro Grifol, which I believe how you pronounce his name, was the manager on the Kansas City, or the bench coach in the Kansas City Royals when they went to back-to-back pennants. Sometimes your window of opportunity is very small. The Royals should be a case study of a team that took advantage of that tiny window, got two trips to the World Series and a title for their troubles, and then got terrible again. The White Sox may find out that that window of opportunity was really only a few years. The best thing going for the White Sox is there is no juggernaut in the American League Central. Mm-hmm. The worst thing going for the White Sox is that Cleveland looks like they have a team that's together for the next bunch of years. And it's going to make it a long shot, I think, for Chicago to penetrate that winning that division. But then going into last year, it looked like an absolute surefire bet that the White Sox were going to win the American League Central. And if you're going to make any bets, go to Bet Online. It's your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Is that lower third below me? Yeah, yes, it is. Way to be on the ball. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. We got it all at betonline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, and I know I do, you can find those on BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. Oh, and let's not beat around the bush here. I just want to thank you for making Locked On MLB your first listen today. For your second listen, that better be Locked On Diamondbacks. After that, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insight that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today is available on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we're here with Miller Thomas. I'm your pal Sully. Jose Abreu would be a big pickup for the Padres. Mm-hmm. Who are looking to look at, they made it past the Dodgers in the playoffs last year, not their standings, but in the playoffs, and got to within three wins of going to the World Series. Abreu would be a huge pickup for him. Now, the Dodgers must be thinking, maybe we should make a splash. And when you take a look at what the Dodgers have done, the Dodgers are going to clear out something like $70 million worth of contracts.
I think it's like $100 million, what I'm seeing.
I mean, it's something, yeah, whatever it is, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Trey Turner, Kimbrel, Price, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger, they've all said toodaloo, bye-bye, thanks for all the fish. That's a reference to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, for those of you who are playing along. And that means the Dodgers, who are a team that has no compunction about spending lots of money and doesn't seem to care about things like the luxury tax, and knows they need to win a World Series title in a full 162-game schedule to sort of get that proverbial monkey off their back about this phenomenal run that they've had. Is this the clearing up of space to bring in, and Stacey Gottsulius, please cover your ears, Aaron Judge?
Well, I don't think there's
see Aaron Judge join Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman as the MVPs that they're just inserting into the team, Willie and also Nilly.
Right now, I would put it at like 50-50, because I don't think there's any doubt that the Dodgers are going to make a run at Aaron Judge. I just don't know if they're going to be all in on an Aaron Judge like they were Freddie Freeman, because that cost for an Aaron Judge is going to be so large. And I think it's going to be a real question whether Is it better to pay an Aaron Judge $35 to $40 million a year because they're projecting Jeff Passan from those winter meetings with the GM? They're projecting maybe 8 years, $320 million for Aaron Judge. That comes out to $40 million a year. For the Dodgers, would it be more beneficial to pay an Aaron Judge $40 million a year, or would it be more beneficial to get the Trey Turner for like $28 million a year and then add a couple of those other pieces in the offseason? So I think that's going to be a huge question for this Dodgers team. How much are they actually willing to commit to Aaron Judge? I think it's a lot easier to meet the demands of a Freddie Freeman, go that seventh or eighth year when he's only going to be making about $23 million annually, and you know he's the MVP guy, you know he's a playoff performer. Judge is the same kind of player, but he's going to be almost double the amount of money as a Freddie Freeman. I think it's a real question for the Dodgers. How all in do you want to go in on Aaron Judge versus just bringing back the Trey Turners and spending some of that money elsewhere to round out the rest of your roster?
I get it. I totally understand. Everything you just said makes logical sense. But we do want, the Dodgers do want to say, I'm the big dog in town and I'm tired of this, and to be the big bully signing all the big players. Again, I on either Wednesday or Thursday, I am going to be addressing my thoughts about why I think we need to take away the stigma of buying a championship, because essentially that's what we want our ownerships to do. We want them to do. Why is that a bad thing? They just bought a championship. Oh, so they did their job. The Dodgers obviously have lots of money. So do the Yankees. But the signing of Aaron Judge would be, I mean, talk about wanting to sell a lot of season tickets. The Dodgers are one of the most, I think they're the highest attendance of any team in baseball right now. They are insanely popular here in Los Angeles, but there is a sense of frustration of the only time they actually won the World Series was a year that no one could show up.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have the season they just had and you lose in the postseason. That doesn't help validate what you did during the 2020 season.
No, it doesn't at all. And it just, it makes everything more frustrating. Like, it creates a stigma towards, well, you won the 1 year where it was, you know, it was weird. It was COVID, 60-game season, and a little round-robin tournament. That didn't really feel like a World Series. You won it in Texas against Tampa. That's just weird. And to have a normal World Series championship is what the Dodgers should be aiming for. And you would think with all the star power they'd have, they'd be able to get it. I just think that the temptation of seeing the reigning MVP coming off of a 62 home run season, stealing him away from the Yankees and telling him, look it, you know, you're sitting him down and say, hey, look it, I know we've only won World Series in this run. We've also been to two other World Series. How many World Series have you been in with the Yankees? None. When are they going to get to? Are they going to win the World Series next year? Probably not. Probably not. And they're giving the car keys back to everybody who did all the same mistakes for the last couple of years. It's a broken record of everything that has gone wrong with the Yankees since the beginning of the new decade. And I'll throw in the 2018 postseason as well. There's been no change. So you can say, Aaron, you are going to have Don Mattingly's career. You are going to have Bobby Mercer's career. You're going to be the guy who was a Yankee at the wrong time to be a Yankee. Or you could be a Dodger.
Yeah, I think I would like to see Aaron Judge become a Dodger just so we could see the storylines of the fall of the evil empire in New York. I mean, what would happen to that franchise, the foundation of the Yankees team, if Aaron Judge went up and left in free agency? That would be phenomenal. But I think the other reason you also have to think about signing Aaron Judge if you're the Dodgers is because there's another California team that has their eyes on Aaron Judge, and that is the San Francisco Giants, because Aaron Judge apparently a Bay Area kid. So the Giants are going to be waiting in the weeds. And if you think about Aaron Judge and the kind of player he is he not the closest player we've seen since like a Barry Bond? Like, if he's going over to San Fran, like, that's the kind of profile of the athlete San Fran wants after having Barry Bond all those years, to bring in the Aaron Judge. That's basically Barry Bond's 2.0 in today's era.
And also, I mean, look, the Giants had a magical regular season in 2021 where they won 107 games, won the division, but then they lost in the check swing series to the Dodgers. Now they have $103 million committed to the 2023 roster. Okay. Now Rodon is probably going to go. I mean, he opted out of his deal. Longoria's going to be, yeah, he's going to get big money. He could get big money from the Giants, he's still going to get big money elsewhere. The current ownership delivered on the great regular season that they had. If the Giants had won against the Dodgers in that division series and faced the, if they had won at all in 2021, then they would be playing with unbelievable house money. But instead, there's a hollow feeling in the hearts of Giants fans. Yeah, they won 107 games, but then they lost to LA of all teams. And then last year became a 500 team. Now, I don't think the Giants are a 500 team, but I also don't think they're a 107 win team either. I think they're pretty much in the middle. I think the team is pretty much a low 90 win team. And the signing of Aaron Judge would be such a, for the lack of a better word, a symbol to the fans to say, all right, the Buster Posey years are over. It's the Aaron Judge years now. We're bringing home, the last time we brought home a reigning MVP back home, as you mentioned, was Barry Bonds. And I think that there would be the great, obviously, ticket sales, obviously, you know, attention and everything like that. But also you're keeping away from LA. And you could also pretty much easily sell Giant fans on, hey, you don't have to win 100 games. Just have to get into the dance. All you got to do is point to 2014. The team was the road team at the wild card game in Pittsburgh in 2014. And they were the one dancing at the end when they defeated Kansas City to win the World Series. So you're saying, hey, if we can improve our team from 81 wins to 87, 88 wins, then we're going to be seeing some meaningful games in October, and some of which Aaron Judge, who will never hit 62 home runs in that pitcher-friendly ballpark. But I think you're right. I think the biggest thing that should make the Yankee fans give a big old gulp, and this is not sponsored by 7-Eleven, is two California teams with money and motive to spend money are salivating at the sign of Aaron Judge as a free agent. And let's face it, the Yankees, for all their reputation of swallowing up all the big stars, in the last, 10 years, they've swallowed up Stanton and a salary dump with the Marlins and Garrett Cole. But they've not been the big, huge spenders that people think they are. And I think the bidding war that could come about from California, I mean, Aaron Judge, his great-grandchildren are going to be able to go to law school, no problem, because of all the money he's going to make. And you have three teams with money who have all the reason in the world to sign him, are going to be in the bidding war for him. File that under WOW.
Yeah, and if you're a Yankees fan, like, I don't know how you sleep at night, because just not those two sharks that are looking in the water with the Dodgers and the Giants. Like, there's rumors that maybe the Red Sox would like to get in on the Aaron Judge sweepstakes, which I don't really understand why they would do that when they let all their other good players walk in free agency or they trade them away. There's rumors that maybe the New York Mets, who we know their owners, not afraid to spend money. Like, if the idea that Judge stays in New York but leaves the team of the New York Yankees to go to the little brother New York Mets, or Aaron Judge goes across conferences and goes to the National League, Dodgers or Giants.
You are a football fan. Leagues.
I guess leagues, but I feel like conference is a better word. I feel like it's easier to rationalize it in your head. But for Judge, if he chose any of those options over re-signing with the Yankees, like, it would be a catastrophic failure in New York. And it would literally be like a pivot point moment, like a nexus moment in Yankees franchise history. The moment Aaron Judge left the building, like, I think it would change like the next 20 years of Yankees lore. Like, maybe that's being too hyperbolic and too exaggerative, but I think it would really change Yankees going forward.
No, he is the one elite player this century. The Yankees have developed two elite players, two elite all-stars have come through the Yankees organization. Robinson Cano, Aaron Judge.
Jesus Montero? What?
Yeah. He's okay. Exactly. I mean, Severino is a homegrown player who's very good, but he's been injured too many times. Like perennial all-star MVP caliber players. It's been Cano and Judge. Now, of course, Cano walked because he got offered all the money in the world from Seattle.
A lot of money.
And now Judge, who, I mean, look at, I personally think, and if I went to bet online, if you go to make it, oh, we already did that one. But if I were to go to bet online, I would bet on him returning to New York simply because the Dodgers want him. The Giants lust after him. The Yankees will collapse without him. And so I think the greatest, the team with the greatest need for him is New York, which is why I think in the end they will outbid whomever. But it's not 100%. We all could see the scenario where they say, well, he just wasn't worth such and such, and saying, well, and you know, the he's 31 years old, and we were afraid that if we did blah 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 blah. But it's but that again would probably make a lot of Yankee fans say, hey, look at, you know, you're just playing it safe. It's, we're playing it too safe, and you got to bring him home. But I have to say, if you want to play it safe at home, I think you should go to, where should they go?
Simply Safe.
That's right. Hey, you know, it's over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries and package thefts spike nationally. That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. Simply Safe was named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report for a third year in a row. In an emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from Simply Safe to capture critical evidence and verify that the threat is real, so you can get priority police response. Simply Safe is a whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, with HD security cameras for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion that alert you only when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors to detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. With a top-rated Simply Safe app, you can stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere, arm or disarm, unlock a guest, access your camera, or adjust system settings. So, don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system that I recommend. Get 50% off any new Simply Safe system at simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB today. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe. And we're back. I should have gone, you know, just sort of testing my tune there. Hey, we're talking about Dodgers clearing the deck. One of the people whose deck was cleared was Cody Bellinger, former a guy who's, by the way, Cody Bellinger has for someone who is a little bit of a like a meteor going through the atmosphere, he's played 6 years. And it's tough to check more off your bucket list than Cody Bellinger has. He's been a league MVP, an NLCS MVP, a Gold Glove winner, an All-Star, a Silver Slugger, a Rookie of the Year, a World Series champion, and has had huge postseason home runs. Like he hit the gigantic home run against Atlanta in the NLCS in 2021. Got big, huge hits in the race to the pennant. In 2017, 2018, he was the MVP. I have to say, he should not have been the MVP of that series. It should have been Yasiel Puig, not Cody Bellinger. But I digress. Bellinger got the gigantic hit to help eliminate the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, his career fell off of a, you know, he basically fell off a cliff in the last couple of years. But that being said, he's still only 27 years old and is just out there to be picked up. And I think there's some teams that could really, really use him and not expect him to be an MVP, but improve the team that they have.
Yeah, I think he's a great low-risk, high-reward type player right now because it's not going to take a lot of money to get Cody Bellinger. You could probably get him for like a one-year, $3 to $5 million deal, if that. And there's still some positives he can add to your team. If you don't look at the batting averages, if you don't look at the OPS, those numbers look pretty bad. But he's still got some over-the-fence pop. He's turned into a really good base runner. He plays solid defense in center field, can play some first base for you as well. So there's definitely a value to a Cody Bellinger. And there's a team out there that maybe could use him as like their fifth or sixth player in their lineup. I think I like that a lot for a Cody Bellinger, or for your team that's like, I'm starving for offensive talent and I'm not going to put the pressure on Cody Bellinger to be that guy, but the space is there for Cody Bellinger to re-cement himself if he wants to be. So, Sully, I got some options here. I got some possible destinations for Cody Bellinger if you want to hear them, but I think you have a place though that you want him to go to before.
Oh, I have two places. I have two places where I think he should land. I bet one of them is in common with one of yours. I think the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians, which, by the way, he would fit right in with their young under 30 team. The Guardians have gigantic holes in their outfield. He would not have to be the star of that team. Jose Ramirez is. It's a young team with energy behind it that they would probably listen to his stories of playing in the World Series, kind of like that scene in Bull Durham when they were listening to Kevin Costner talk about his 14 days in the majors, or 21 days in the majors, sorry. Go catch Bull Durham Minute wherever you get podcasts hosted by your pal Sully. I think he'd be a great fit there. And it also would be no pressure on him in a way. Like that's part of the idea is to put him in a place where say, look, you don't have to be this all-star anymore. You don't have to be the superstar anymore. You don't have the expectations of a giant contract or winning an MVP. You're one of the guys now. And a team like Cleveland, who could very well win the division again, could certainly use a player like that. And the other team I think could use him is Miami. Because Miami has the Cy Young Award winner. They got Pablo Lopez. They've got good pitching on that team. They just can't score. And for reasons that I don't understand, the Miami management will not spend lots of money. But when you have the opportunity for someone to have a turnaround season and maybe help spark the offense to turn some of those 2-1 losses into 3-2 wins. What's the worst thing that happened? You take a flyer on him for a 1 or 2 year deal. And if he turns it around completely, but the team still is in the toilet, then you can flip him for a young player. But I think the best option for him is Cleveland, in my opinion.
I think I like your Miami option a little bit better though. Cleveland wouldn't be bad being under Tito and being on a good roster like that. Quietly, I know you love the war stat, Sully. Andrés Giménez, 6th in all of baseball in war and 3rd in the American League in war. I bet you didn't know that. It's a fun fact.
Oh, he had a wonderful season with Cleveland. He had a wonderful season.
Yeah. Was it the 3rd best season in the American League? I don't know. But according to war, it was. I guess the MVP voters thought differently with Yordan Alvarez. But Miami, I think, would be a lot of fun because I know Peter Pryor. I always see him on Twitter just begging for some offensive help in the outfield. And I know we've discussed maybe doing a little like Alec Thomas for a Pablo Lopez trade because I would love to get one of their starting pitchers. And the D-backs have a lot of outfielders. So I love that deal for the D-backs. But for Cody Bellinger, I think I would like him a little bit more in Miami than Cleveland. But surprisingly, Sully, neither of those teams were actually on my list for Cody Bellinger because there's so many teams that Cody Bellinger could go to because he.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Well, who you got?
Well, I was going to run through them. How about this first team that kind of fits along the same mold of what we're talking about, kind of fits along that Miami Marlins mode? The Chicago Cubs, who we talked about on the podcast last week for one of the free agents, but a team that surprisingly finished the year really strong. A lot of pitching, actually had a really good pitching staff in terms of starters ERA, bullpen ERA, but their big issue is their offensive talent in that lineup, not very good. When Ian Happ is your best offensive player, your team is just not going to go very far. So I think a Cody Bellinger with Chicago could be kind of interesting. Here's another
one. That could work. I think that the Cubs are still in full rebuild mode. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Cubs took a couple of like one more year to kind of see what they have before they start making moves. Just try to put them over the top. It would not stun me to see if the Cubs really looked and felt like a minor league team next year, giving everyone a shot. But we'll see. They did finish the year well, but so did the Tigers finish the 2021 well, and look at what that did for them. So okay. I think
how about this, yeah. How about this team? You would have to keep your expectations fair if you brought them in, but this team might lose their best player that we just talked about, the New York Yankees. What if you lose the Aaron Judge to the Dodgers? Now you bring in the Dodgers' former superstar, Cody Bellinger, back to the Yankees in that outfield with Giancarlo Stanton, whoever else is out there. I think Bellinger could be interesting in the pinstripes.
If they lose Aaron Judge to Los Angeles and then take Los Angeles's droppings to fill that spot, and they try to portray that as anything other than going to Ross Dress for Less and picking up a pair of pants on the ground and bringing it to the cash register because it's a good deal, the Yankee fans will burn Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner's images in effigy and may run them out of the town tarred and feathered and on a rail. That would be a absolute, well, we lost Aaron Judge to the Dodgers, but look, we got the person that they literally non-tendered.
Yeah.
We're not even going to offer you a deal.
Yeah, the optics might not.
That'd be a disaster.
The optics might not.
That'd be a disaster, which is why I'm rooting for that.
I would root for it too. This one I thought would be kind of funny because they think they're a win now team, but others would disagree. What if he goes and joins Chris Bryant in that Colorado outfield? You need a renaissance type of season. You want to get your offensive numbers back up? What's a better place to do it than Coors Field?
Look at he's one of the reasons I brought up the thing at the top that he's checked a lot of things off his bucket list. So did Chris Bryant. And now I always felt that Chris Bryant should have been a Cub for life. And I have a feeling he wanted to be a Cub for life, but they completely torched the team, including trading away their homegrown MVP to San Francisco. And so he was like, all right, well, if this is all about money, who's going to offer me the most money? I've already been an MVP, an all-star, a World Series champ. Now, back up the Brinks truck so I can just sort of, you know, float away in the clouds of Colorado. Cody Bellinger has done eerily similar. MVP, you know, helped win a World Series, Gold Glove, all these things that you would say are the accomplishments you'd want to have in a career. He's already done. But no one's going to offer him the multi-year career that Chris Bryant has. That's why you go to Colorado, is that the Rockies have like, okay, well, Denver's a nice place to be a millionaire. I think he wants to show that he still has value in his bat. There's one other place that just hit me. I don't know. Do you have another one on your list there?
Yeah, I'll bundle these two together for time reasons, but because they're two AL East teams. What if he went to Toronto because they just trade away Teoscar Hernandez? They keep some more.
That's that. I could absolutely see that. Absolutely could see. In fact, it would not surprise me if they become the front runner.
And then the other one is maybe the Boston Red Sox, who don't really want to spend a lot of money. Cody Bellinger would be a pretty cheap option. The outfield really disappointed last year. The Kikes of the world. JD Martinez is going to leave in free agency probably. Who knows who's Xander Bogaerts. Cody Bellinger just could be a nice upside flyer with them for maybe potential offense in the outfield.
Maybe. Why not Tampa Bay?
Why not Tampa Bay? I mean
Tampa Bay always is like trying to find, you know, they always find the proverbial diamonds in the rough. I mean, why not give him a shot? I mean, that seems like he would be a perfect fit there.
Maybe Milwaukee, who always seems to be in the need of more offensive talent, because the Christian Yelich thing just hasn't worked out the last couple of years.
No, Christian Yelich has been like Cody Bellinger, except without the World Series ring.
Unfortunately.
But, if I were a betting man, I would say that Bellinger is going to go to Toronto. As a sort of a low, like they're able to get the relievers they wanted to from Seattle and still have a name out there in the outfield in what was Teoscar Hernandez's spot. And he doesn't have to carry that team. The two teams I think he should be going to are Miami and Cleveland. I do think he'd be a perfect fit in Cleveland. I absolutely do. I don't think they're going to do it, but I think he'd be a great fit there.
Yeah, I don't know if I have even a betting favorite because I just think there's going to be so many rumors and so many teams are going to be in on Cody Bellinger, someone that does have the pedigree, even though he struggled so much last couple of years since that shoulder surgery. Still think someone's going to you know, kind of convince themselves that maybe they could still turn it around with Cody Bellinger and still untap that potential that's within him. So I think like half Major League Baseball is going to be in on Cody Bellinger. So at this moment, I wouldn't go to Bet Online and place any bets right now on Cody Bellinger of his next destination.
You know, Bet Online is the number one spot for your sports betting needs. Hey, everyone, I just want to reiterate this to thank you for listening to Locked On MLB, Locked On Diamondbacks Crossover. Make one of our shows your number one listen, and you know, the other one would be your number two one. But eventually, get yourself to Locked On Sports Today. Talks about the games that matter the most, biggest stories in sports. They go beyond the scoreboard and beyond the scenes with local experts that only Locked On can provide. You got to follow Locked On Sports Today. It's available on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Hey, Miller, we're wrapping up another week. Where can people follow you?
Hey, follow me on Twitter at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account, or follow us on YouTube, Locked On Diamondbacks, on there as well. I've gotten roasted from my last video because of the Kyle Lewis and the Arizona Diamondbacks trade, because guess what? We got back a rookie of the year. I don't care about the knee problems. We gave up Cooper Hummel for him. That was a good win by the D-backs. So go follow us on YouTube, Locked On Diamondbacks. Follow us on Twitter, Locked On Diamondbacks, Twitter, Instagram, and follow at CreatorThomas24 for the personal account.
And follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. For as long as Twitter still exists. And assuming Twitter is going to continue to exist past Thanksgiving, you can follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Seeing where MVPs are going to land, this has been the Locked On MLB, Locked On Diamondbacks crossover for the 21st day of November 2022. He's Miller Thomas. I'm Paul Francis Sullivan. You can call me Sully, and let's fist pump.